Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the epistle. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, it's time to quit acting like little babies. I didn't say it. Pastor Paul did. Brethren, he says, it's time to grow up and quit acting like a bunch of little babies. There's a time to be infants. There's a time to breastfeed and to stay away from solid foods, but you can't be infants forever. Eventually, you need to grow up, to be mature, to be adults. It's time to stop being so worldly and to be more spiritual. Oh, that really hurts, Paul. We're not little babies. We're as spiritual as it gets. In fact, we're more spiritual than anyone around. There's no one more religious than we. Oh, really? Paul asks. Then what's with all the jealousy and the quarreling within the congregation? Why all the divisions? Why the cliques? Why the hurt, the fighting, the dirty looks, the backbiting, the bad-mouthing? That's not very spiritual. In fact, that's all in the way of being sinners, being sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, living for the self, looking out for number one, the worship of the self. And Paul tells us today that's all in the way of death. Oh, come on, Paul. Really? That's just going a bit too far. Good grief, we don't act like that. We're not that bad. Oh, yeah, sure, we have a few disagreements once in a while, but jealousy, divisions, idolatry, death. Now who's being a big baby? So we warn you, Paul. You keep this up, Paul, and we may just have to, well, you know what we mean. You've been warned, Paul. Pastor Paul is not intimidated. He does not give up. He will continue to provide the highest of pastoral care. Yes, you are big babies. If the shoe fits, wear it. You play favorites. And you divide the congregation. You faint and swoon over certain preachers as if they're celebrities like Pharrell Williams, Paul McCartney, or Justin Timberlake. St. Paul had been hearing the reports from Chloe's clan, and they were very troubling. Oh, Apollos. Oh, he's a much better preacher than Paul. Oh, Apollos. Oh, he's dynamic. Paul, boring. Apollos dresses for success. Paul, slob. Oh, we can listen to Apollos all day, but Paul, oh, good grief. Give us a break. Oh, Apollos, we know he'll grow the church. Paul, we watched him. He destroys it. We won't be able to pay the bills much longer if we let Paul hang around the pulpit. But then the Paul crowd fights back. We belong to Pastor Paul. Oh, sure, his preaching style needs a little bit of help, but at least Paul knew the difference between the baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism that Jesus instituted in Matthew 28. Apollos didn't have a clue on that one. Apollos, he's just a show-off. And there were other factions, too. In chapter 1 of Paul's letter, Paul had heard about those in the congregation that pushed Pastor Peter as the best pastor. Oh yes, Pastor Peter, he's so passionate, so authoritative. He'll soon have a cathedral in Rome with his name on it, you know. And have you seen his ring? It makes us just want to kiss it. Oh, Peter's going places. You can either follow him or get left behind. Now, how in the world do you beat that? Well, you put out the biggest trump card from your sleeve, the knockout blow, and many did. Here's what they said. We follow Pastor Jesus. We only listen to him, not Peter, Paul, or Apollos. Now, who could argue with a clincher like that? How mature. Pitting pastor against pastor, teacher against teacher, causing needless strife and scandal and splits in the church, sounds like people are acting a little immature, like little children. Too much attention on the person of the preacher. Way too concerned with the man, his style, his gifts, his talents, his wisdom, or lack thereof. Way too absorbed with the man, as if the survival or the growth of the church are entirely up to the pastor. And so the congregation takes sides. The church is divided, the church is not edified, and the church is not built up. And so in the text, we get some more pastoral care. Listen, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Notice not the who question, but the what question. What are pastors? And the answer is servants. That's a big word in the text. Servants. That's the what of a pastor. Not lords, but servants. Servants through whom you came to believe in Jesus, Paul says. Pastor Paul, Pastor Peter, Pastor Apollos, Pastor Berger, Pastor B. Reuter, Pastor Kuhlman. And in my life, it was Bunshu and Simonson, all sent by the Lord Jesus himself to serve the church with Christ's word. Why? So that you and I, through Christ's Holy Spirit word, would come to faith in Jesus, trust only in Jesus for salvation, now and always. We, brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. We are not given to play favorites with the pastors. We are not given to believe in them. Only Jesus, the Savior, of whom they preach, are we to believe. Jesus gave Paul the task of planting the seed of his word. Apollos was given the task to water the seed of the gospel that Paul proclaimed. Planting, watering, both serve a common goal, the edification of the church, the building up of God's church. And that's faith in Jesus. So Paul says, one of the most troubling, and yet at the same time, one of the most comforting statements in the New Testament. Let me repeat it. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered. But God made it grow. God gives the growth in the church. Did you hear that? Seriously, are you listening? I don't think anybody does. Especially the pastors. And so here's where it's time for us to finally grow up, to be adults and to be mature, to repent and to be a Christian, to die to our sin and believe that God gives growth to the church. We don't. The pastors don't. This is such an important point that Paul says it twice. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Church growth is in God's hands. Tell that, I beg you, to the bigwigs of the church. I beg you to teach them this. Church growth is in God's hands. We are not in control of it. God is. Who wants control? Big babies. Immature children would take away the growth of the church from God and give it to men. You know, if we only had the right pastor, if only we, and then we proceed to take matters into our own hands. Mature adults leave the growth of the church to God in his time, according to his way. So we'd better hear it again. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God grows his church. And so he sends pastors with different kinds of gifts. Pastors come and pastors go. Some plant, some water. They are simply and only servants of Christ and his church. In and of themselves, pastors are nothings. They are nobodies. Don't pay attention to the person. Close your eyes instead and listen. For as they preach and teach God's word faithfully, they are, as Paul says, fellow workers in God's field, God's building, his church. So, brothers and sisters, for all of our playing favorites, for all of our divisiveness, for all of our anger, for all of our bitter words, for calling our brothers and sisters in Christ fools, for holding them in contempt, for all our trying to control the growth of the church by being little divinities in the congregation, Jesus, the good shepherd of his sheep, has died. In his body, he's taken away all of our sin, and he's answered for it. And our Lord's pastoral word to you today is this: listen up. I'm going to plant a huge word right in the midst of you. I'm going to water it, and it will bear fruit in your life together here at Trinity. It's good news, the greatest news. And I send my servants to proclaim it to you. This is what I want to plant into your ears and hearts. Are you ready? Here goes. You are forgiven of everything. You are a new creation. And so today, take and eat. My body and my blood given and shed for you. And the church's growth, I'll see to that. No need to panic then, brothers and sisters. It's all good with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.